Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Leviticus 23, Parshas Emor, the 23rd chapter, the 15th verse. The Torah says that after cutting the fresh grain for the first time, and this is the barley that gets cut because the wheat takes more time to mature, it's not ready until Shavuot, but right in the beginning of spring, which is when Pesach arrives, in the Zman Ha'aviv, the barley is ready, and you cut it, and you bring a special offering, a special korban. The Torah says, "Usfartem lochem mimocharat haShabbat." You begin to count from the day after the cessation. Rashi tells us, "HaShabbat" does not refer to Shabbat Bereshit, does not refer to the seventh day of the week, as in 6 days you shall work and the seventh you shall rest, but rather it refers to Mocharat Yom Tov, to the day after Yom Tov, because Passover, the Pesach holiday, is a seven-day holiday. It has a Yom Tov at the beginning and a Yom Tov at the end. At least that's the way it is in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. That's the way it was really ordained and destined to be biblically. So the first day is a Shabbat. The first day, we don't work like Shabbat. There's some variations. We're allowed to do Melechet Ochel Nefesh. We're allowed to cook and prepare for the meals. But that's really the only thing that's permitted. Otherwise, it's basically like Shabbat. So the Torah says, Mimocharat HaShabbat, from the day after the Yom Tov, can't say the day after Yom Tov, because we say the day, you think it's the day after Pesach. It's the middle of Pesach. It's just after the resting part of Pesach, the first day of Pesach, what we call in the vernacular Yom Tov. Miyom haviyachem es omer hatnufa, from the day that you bring this omer, and omer is a measurement of grain, which is waved, and that's a subject for another day, why it's waved, but it's waved, and we demonstrate our love and our loyalty to Hashem, our homage, by waving this korban omer. So from that day and onward, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tehiyenu. There should be 7 complete perfect weeks. 7 perfect weeks. Ad Mimocharat HaShabbat HaShviit, until after that 7th week concludes, and here the word Shabbat, Rashi tells us, means the week. Tisperu Chamishim Yom, you'll count 50 days. Of course, 7 times 7 is only 49. But the 50th day means after you finish counting 49, you count it up to the 50th day. Once you count up to the 50th day, V'hikraftem Mincha Chadosh LaHashem. So then there is a new offering, a new meal offering, which is brought to Hashem. On Pesach, we bring the fresh grain, the new produce from barley. And on Shavuot, we bring wheat. As a rule in the Beit HaMikdash, all of the menachot, all of the meal offerings, were always of wheat, with the exception of the Korban HaOmer, brought in the second day of Pesach, and the Minchat Sota, the suspected adulteress's meal offering, which is a subject also for another day. Okay, so the question is, so when do we start counting? Macharat HaPesach. So I want to introduce you to the words of the Gemara, Masechet Menachot, on page 66. The Gemara says, Miyom haviyachem tisperu. From the day that you bring it, you should count. That's what it says, right? Sfartem lechem. It says, Miyom haviyachem tisperu. From the day, that's when you should count. So the Gemara says, Yochel, I might think, yiktzor v'yavi. That this means, I cut, I bring an offering, and then whenever I want, I start counting. So there's a responsibility. I have to bring an offering, no problem. And then at some point, you'll start counting. And everybody can count their own 7 weeks. You count your 7 weeks, you make yourself a Shavuos. It's a mitzvah that everybody has. It says, Usfartem lechem. We already learned that it's a personal mitzvah, my mitzvah as an individual to count. So the Gemara says, Eimasaisha Yirtza Yisper. Talmud Lomar, the verse comes to teach me, and here we reference the Pasuk as it appears in Deuteronomy 17, which is the other place in the Torah that we speak about the concept of Sfirat HaOmer, as discussed in last week's class at length. So over there in Devarim, it says, Mehochel Chermesh Bekomom. In Chumash Devarim, in Deuteronomy, it doesn't talk about a korban. It doesn't talk about something which is brought as a wave offering. The wave offering business is in Leviticus. But in the book of Deuteronomy, it speaks about the Yom Tov, and then it says, Mehochel Chermesh Bekoma, when you raise the sickle on the tall grass, that's when Tochel Isper. So the Gemara says, okay, I Mehochel Chermesh Tochel Isper, if it's from when you raise the sickle, Yochel, I might think, Yiktzer you cut the yisper, then count. Rashi explains that the business here that the Gemara is saying, we might have a supposition that I can do this as I please, whenever I want. I can count, and then whenever I want, I can bring the korban. Because in one place it says you have to bring the korban, and in one place it says you have to count. So if I would have only one of these verses, only Leviticus, or only Deuteronomy, I would come to the conclusion that either I can count when I begin, I can begin to count when I please, or I can bring the korban when I please. So because I have both psukim together, Talmud Lomer miyom aviyachem, from the day that it is brought. Rashi explains, Hochi mashma, mishiagia mimochras ha-shabbos, when that time after the day you rest concludes, duhu yom haviyachem, which is the day you bring this korban, hochsheru sefira misha shetisratza. That's when you can start to count as you please. Imi yom haviyachem, yachol yisper, yikzer v'yisper. So then I could think, I can again do my own thing. Each of these verses on its own could make me think that I could do one activity or the other activity at will. Talmud Leimar, the Pasuk, comes and teaches me that that's not the case. You don't just begin to count when you please and how you please, but rather, Sheva Shabbatot Mimoti Yeno. You must have 7 perfect weeks. The count has to be a perfect count. Eimatai atemotza sheva shabbatot mimot. When will you have 7 perfect weeks? Bizman shatem matchil limnot miba erev. That you must begin to count on the night before. So we could have thought you could begin your count at some point. Torah comes along and says no. The count must begin on the eve prior to bringing this korban. So the Gemara says yochel yikzer v'yovi v'yisper. Maybe then I can cut, bring the korban, and then start counting at night. Pasuk says no. Miyom haviyachem. The korban can only be brought during the day. Haketzad. So when I have all of these verses coming together at once, and each one of them brings a different piece of the puzzle, what emerges? What emerges is that there is ktsira and sfira balayla. The grain has to be cut, and the counting has to begin at night. V'hava, and the bringing of the offering is bayom. So the Gemara tells me that by analyzing these verses, I come to a very clear conclusion. That the counting cannot begin at will. The korban cannot be brought at your own time. Everything has a specific time in which it's ordained for it to happen. In the evening of the second day of Pesach, the grain must be cut, and the count must begin. And the korban is brought the next morning. As Rashi explains, Talmud Lomer b'yom haviyachem, the mashma, from this it would seem, lehoch shiru sfira, that counting isn't appropriate, ele mishigia yom, only when the day arrives. So for this we have the counter argument, that it says, tmimot tihiyena. And since it says tmimot, since it says they have to be complete days, the only way you can have a complete day counted is when you started counting on the night before. Because every day is comprised of a night, and a day, as we read in the beginning of the Torah's narrative of creation, Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker. There's evening and there's morning. There's day, night and day. So in order for something to be observed right, it has to be observed at the night and during the day. And of course, everybody knows, when does Shabbat begin?
Friday.
On Friday night. When does Yom Kippur begin? On the eve of Yom Kippur. When does any Yom Tov begin? All of the observances have to begin on the night before. As such, the observance of counting a day also has to begin on the night before. So why does the korban have to be brought during the day? Because korbanot are always brought during the day. The concept of a korban is linked to light, is linked to the concept of or, and therefore, the only time we have the mizbeach active in the evening is when there's the leftovers. Whatever wasn't finished burning on the mizbeach during the day can be burned. That's called hekter chalavim ve'varim. But as a rule, the korban is always brought during the daytime hours. But the counting, along with the cutting, that takes place at night in order for it to be tmimot. From this we derive that the concept of Sfira Ta'omer is supposed to be performed when? At night. That's clear. Of course, we have a question. What happens if somebody doesn't count at night? What happens if they remember to count during the day? So the Tosfos here says, what happens if you forgot to count at night since you're supposed to count at night? So he says, Pasak Bal HaLachas Gedolus, and we'll talk about him in a moment, the Bal HaLachas Gedolus rules, Shesofer Bayom, you should still count during the day. And he says this is his opinion, but Rabbeinu Tam follows another opinion. He says the counting has to start at night, and if the counting isn't done at night, then you don't have a counting. To count a day from the daytime hours, if you didn't count the nighttime hours, is simply incomplete. That's not called Sfirat HaOmer. And the Tosfos seems to indicate that this has something to do with a dispute about whether or not the grain has to be cut on the night before, or the grain, if it wasn't cut on the night before, could still be cut the next morning. Now, as to the question, what is the deeper meaning of this counting? I want to introduce you to a medrash. And the medrash will help us to understand why it is that the counting must begin on the night before, or why the tmimot of counting the night before is so important. This medrash is brought in a number of places. I'll share it with you firstly from the Ran. The Ran is the commentary on the Alphas, on the Rif. It's the Ran that we looked at last week. And the Ran speaks about the idea of the counting of the Omer being rabbinic or biblical. And if you remember from last week's class, it's the idea of Zecher LeMigdash. We're evoking what used to happen during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. However, the Ran says, there is also an Agoda. And the Haggadah, the story that comes along with this is Bishar Sha'amar Lahem Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, we're going to leave this land of Egypt. And then what's going to happen, the people said. What's the end game? Where are we going? Said Moshe, God told me, Tavdun es ha'olikim el ha'or hazeh. When God first introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush, he said to him, because Moses said, what's the end game? Where do we go from here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when you'll take the nation out of Egypt, you'll bring them to this mountain and there they will serve me. So Moshe Rabbeinu conveyed that. Amru le Yisrael le Moshe. So the people of Israel said to Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, Emesai Avodah Zu, when is this happening? So he said to them, L'seif Chamishim Yem, at the end of 50 days. V'hoyu moinim kol echad v'echad la'atzme. Each person was counting. They were anticipating Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And the Ran says, Mikan kavu chachamim l'sfiras ha'omer. That's why our sages made sure we count Sfirat HaOmer, because we may not have a big Beit HaMikdash, and we may not have a Korban, and we may not be observing the agricultural laws in the Holy Land of Israel, but we are supposed to be excited about the Torah. And just as our ancestors counted up to Matan Torah, we too should count up to Matan Torah. Now the Ran says that this is Zev Vaday Derech Medrash. This is a beautiful story. It's a beautiful message of Torah, and it's an inspirational idea. But he says, the Ikra Milsa Zecher LeMikdash, the idea of the counting of the Omer, even as we do it today, still remains primarily a remembrance of what used to happen in the Beit HaMikdash. But we have now an introduction to a Medrash that's widely known, that the idea of counting the Omer, even though the scripture does not allude to this at all, the scripture speaks about agriculture, whether it speaks about when you cut the grain or raise the sickle on the grain. Nonetheless, the Midrashic narrative that comes along with these psukim indicates that the Torah gave us this mitzvah because when we left Mitzrayim, yet before we got the Torah, we counted up and anticipated Matan Torah. Incidentally, this medrash is also brought in a tshuva, in one of the responsa of the great Rashba, Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Avram ben Aderet, one of the greatest sages of Spain, great Sephardic sage. We only have a fraction of his responsa, 9 volumes of responsa that we have left from what was lost. And one of the questions is, why are we counting the Omer today? Why are we making a blessing? We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We didn't bring a Korban. We're counting a non-existent Omer. What is this for? So the Rashba says, you should know that even in the time when the people were counting in the Beit HaMikdash, there was also a personal mitzvah. Not everybody brought the Korban. Not everybody was present in the Beis HaMikdash. When a Korban was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, it's, according to all opinions, biblically obligatory, regardless of where in the world you are. You may not have seen the Korban be brought. You may not even know firsthand the Korban was brought. You still had to do it. And therefore, we make the bracha because this is a personal mitzvah. However, the Rashba says, I want you to know that the business of the agriculture is the Torah telling you when you should count, not why you should count. When should you count? Mehachal chemish bekama, when you raise the sickle. Why should you count? He says, oh, we have a medrash. And the medrash tells us that this idea of our counting is in the image of the counting that took place by our ancestors in antiquity when we left Mitzrayim. And he says, it brings down from the Bala Itur, a medrash. We don't have it in the midrashic form, we do have it in the Bala Itur, in the Ran, in the Rashba. They didn't see each other, they didn't correspond, and yet they all have the same medrash. And he says, the Jewish people said to Moshe, Emasa Aveda Zu, when will we do this Aveda? When we're going to serve God at this mountain? And he said to them, L'seif chamishim yom. So our sages established that we should have Sfiras HaOmer, regardless of whether a carbon was or wasn't brought. But really and truly, this notion of celebrating the day that the Torah was given to us is foundational. And we count up to it. And amazingly, the Sefer HaChinuch, which is the book of mitzvah education, in his mitzvah on Parshas Emor, it's his mitzvah number 306 in his system, he says that the origin of this mitzvah is that kol ikran shel Yisrael eino ela haTorah. We, the Jewish people, are not a nation by dint of living or owning a country. We are not a nation because we have bagels and lox. We are not a nation because we have culture and music or plays. That does not make us a nation. We are not a nation because we have a defense force. We are not a nation because we have borders. We are a nation for one reason and one reason only. What defines us as a nation? Torah. Torah. That defines us as a nation. As Rabbi Sadia Gaon wrote, Ein umeinu uma ela batayra. And therefore, Mipnei haTorah nivru shamayim ve'aretz v'Yisrael. That's why the cosmos, heavens and earth, and us, the Jewish people, this is what we were created for. We're created for the Torah. This is our raison d'etre today. And because this is the case, like as Moshe Rabbeinu was told, right when he was going to leave Mitzrayim, he said, what is this about? God said to him, the Pasuk says, Boitziyecha sa'om mi'Mitzrayim, when you take the nation out of Israel, out of Mitzrayim, Egypt, tavdus el-elekim al-laharazeh. They will serve God in this mountain. In other words, Haitziyecha Isa Mitzrayim, taking them out of Egypt would be a sign for Matan Torah. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, if you have a sign for something, what's the ikar, what's primary, what's the tuffel, what's secondary? If something is a sign for something, it's a symbol for something, it points to something, then that something is what's primary. Everything else is just pointing to it. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, from the fact that it says in the Torah that the sign, v'zeh ha'alacha ha'ois, Moshe Rabbeinu said, give me a sign. How do I know I'm going to take these people out of the land of Egypt? And God said, a sign? I'll give you a sign. The sign will be, the sign, you'll take them out. And then you'll take them out. It will be a sign that you'll bring them to this mountain. And the tachlis ha'tova shalem is to get the Torah. That's the ultimate purpose. That's the penultimate good for them. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that getting the Torah is more important than getting freedom. Getting Torah is more important than getting out of Egypt. This business of let my people go free doesn't say anywhere. Not in the Torah anyway. In the Torah it says, Shalach Ami, set my people forth. V'yavduni, and they will worship me. Where is that? This is the Torah. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, because this is the case, because this is really who we are, it's a defining hallmark. So therefore we were commanded from the second day of Pesach until the day when the Torah gets given to us, we're commanded to count up to the Torah. Because This is what this time is about. We're re-commemorating or reliving what our ancestors did when they left Mitzrayim, just like we commemorate the Exodus. So now we commemorate the counting up to the concept of Matan Torah, giving the Torah. The Sefer HaChinuch says, V'im Tishal, so if you're going to ask me, why do we start counting on the second day of Pesach? We should count the first day of Pesach. So what? So God should have given us the Torah a day earlier. Why did he say start counting for the next day? We left Mitzrayim. We should have started counting. That was day one. So he says, the answer is, Yom HaRishon Et Yachad Kulo, the first day was set aside to commemorate the miracle of the Exodus. Nes HaGadol, the big miracle, the Exodus. And this is the Ot Mofet, this is the sign that Hashem gives us and that he's involved with the world and so on and so forth. And therefore, we shouldn't, he says, la'arvev b'simchato u'lahaska shum yinachar. We can't mix. This is the day of God's joy. God's showing us that he's with us and he's present. And he takes out of Mitzrayim, and that's great. That's the first day of Pesach. But from the second day of Pesach onward already, we don't focus exclusively on Exodus. Now we focus on Sefirat HaOmer. It's one of the places. One of the places. So the only question we didn't answer is, what does that have to do with what the Gemara just shared to me with the Gemara, the counting has to be from the night before? Because we have this business, the Gemara is going to tells us about Tamimot, and Tamimot means that the count has to be perfect and complete, and the only way the count can be perfect is if you don't only count the day, but if also you count the night before. So, but how does that fit with all this Midrashic teaching, which talks about the notion of counting up to Matan Torah? What does that have to do with the night before? So the Rebbe answers this question very simply. He says, think about it. The Jewish people come out of Mitzrayim. What are they expecting? They've been told that when they leave Mitzrayim, what happens? They get the Torah. They're miraculously transported to a place called Sukkot. They're transported so quickly that the dough doesn't have a chance to rise. And the reason that we talk about dough having a chance to rise is because in case you don't have a watch, in case you don't have a clock, if the day before you were commanded to make matzah, and you knew you had to do it in great haste, and you knew it took you whatever amount of time, a small amount of time, whether they were looking at a clock when they made the matzah, I don't know, but I can tell you this with certainty. When they got their first mitzvah to make matzah, they made it very quickly. And they knew that they had to make it in haste, because if they would tarry, it would rise. So you remember from yesterday that there's a very short window of time which doesn't allow the dough to rise. You leave Mitzrayim, and within that window of time, you've arrived somewhere and the dough didn't rise yet. What does everybody understand? That this has happened very quickly. You ever hear the expression, time flies when you're having fun? So sometimes somebody says, wow, that went by so quickly. They could have left Mitzrayim. They said, wow, we were so happy. Must be 6 hours. But for us, it feels like 5 minutes. So 1 second. It actually was 5 minutes. How do you know that? How do we know? Because we just mixed the flour and water and the bread didn't rise yet. So the people had an actual visible sign that they had left Mitzrayim in such haste. The sign was the matzah, which is why the matzah becomes the poster boy of Pesach. It represents the haste with which Hashem took us out. So if a whole nation of millions of people comes out in minutes, in the time that it takes dough to rise or not to rise, what would they expect next? The Torah. Amazing. We got here, lickety-split, before dough could rise, and where's the Torah? So they came to Moshe. The sun was setting already. They waited. So this is the day the Torah is getting given, and the day is going by, and the Torah didn't come yet. They came to Moshe. They said, Moshe, weren't we supposed to get a Torah? And Moshe said, oh, I forgot to tell you. It's not instantaneous. That's going to be in 7 weeks. So when did it start counting, says the Rebbe? When did they find that they weren't getting the Torah? When the day ended. So when did they first start counting? That night they started counting. So they said, it's 49 days, we'll start counting now. So initially, when did they first start counting? Based on this medrash, the Rebbe demonstrates how they started to count on the night, at the right time, which is the night before. When do we start to count? On the night before. So this is how you see the very technical terminology of the Gemara, the very technical idea of Tmimot, of the notion of having perfect days, counting, starting from the night before, dovetails like a hand in a glove, beautifully fits into the concept of the spiritual message of counting the Omer. So now I want to go back to this business of the perfect count. Because here it starts to get very interesting. The Tosfos continues after he brings down his initial dispute with the Baal HaLachat Gedolot. Baal HaLachat Gedolot, incidentally, there's a dispute amongst the Rishonim who he was. He was for sure one of the greatest of his time. The time is called Zman HaGaonim. This is the time post-Talmud, when the Talmud comes to an end. The first generation after was known as Rabbanon Savaroi. They were still perfecting the Talmud, tightening all the loose ends. And then the Talmud was really, finally, finished, polished, perfect. And then the sages that came afterwards are known as Gaonim. So some of the famous Gaonim, Reb Sadia Gaon is the most famous Gaon, Rabbi Hai Gaon, Reb Tzemach Gaon. There were hundreds of Gaonim. Some of them are well-known, some of them are not so well-known. one of these Gaonim, at the end of the period of the Gaonim, just as we're moving into the period we call Rishonim, he put together a compendium of halachas. Halachas, from across the whole Torah, just the book of halachas. And he called it Halachot Gdolot, the big book of halacha. The big book of, it's not exhaustive. It's not like the works of later works of Rambam and Alphus, Rif and Rush. It's not, these are major compendiums which span the entirety of Torah, at least the entirety of the Talmud. The Halachas does is excerpts. He excerpted halachas. A very important sefer, very important book, a primordial book in as far as Rishonim, like before the era of Rishonim, just on the cusp of the beginning of the era of Rishonim. But nonetheless, he's kind of like a Rishon, Gaon, Rishon, somewhere around there. So the Tosfos quotes another halacha now from the Baal Halachos Gedolos. This is the Tis on the bottom of page 66. And he says like this, Oid Pasak Halachos Gedolos, something else that the Halachos Gedolos paskened. Im Hifsik Yom Echad, if you didn't count for one day, V'lo Sofer, a day went by, you didn't count the Omer, Shuv Eino Sofer. That's it. You missed a day, you missed the count. You're off the wagon. And the reason? Tmimot. The boy Tmimot. Now this is fascinating because when the Gemara talks about Tmimot, the Gemara is telling us about counting the night before. That a count can't be from the day, that a count has to be from the night. And the Tosfos initially brings down the Halachas Gedolos to tell us that the counting has to be at night, and you can't count during the day. And the Tosfos disagrees. He says, no, you still could count during the day. But here the Baal Halachas is telling us another something which the Gemara doesn't speak about, at least not overtly. The Baal Halachot understood from the Gemara that since you need Tamimot, which means since you need not only 49 days counted, but 49 whole days counted, and 49 whole days means night and day, so the Baal Halachas understood from this that the counting has to be a perfect counting. And in order for it to be a perfect counting, every day has to be included. So the Baal Halachas said, if you miss a day, that's it. You can't count anymore. The boy Tamimis. The Tosfos finishes off. V'teima g'doylohu. This is a big wonder. Why he would say something like that? V'lo yitachet. It cannot be. So here the Tosfos disagrees with the Baal Halachas. Baal Halachas makes a statement. He says, "It's you miss one day, you don't count anymore." Tosfos says, why? What's the theory behind this dispute? What is the reasoning behind the Baal Halachas or behind the Tosfos? Baal Halachas is saying you have to count every day or your counting is worthless. Tosfos is saying, what do you mean? The Torah says you have to count 49 days. So every day is a new mitzvah. What's the reasoning behind it? So very interestingly, we can discover the reasoning behind the Baal Halachas and behind the Tosfos from two separate sources. Let me take you back first to the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, towards the end of Mitzvah Shin Vav, he says the following. Yesh sha'amru, there were those who said, and this is a reference to the Baal Halachas, Shemi she'shachach v'lomana yom echad, that a person who forgot to count the Omer one day, she'ein yachal limnot od, you can't count anymore. You forgot one day, you can no longer count. Ba'oto shana, in that year. And here, the Sefer HaChinuch explains why. The Baal Halacha doesn't explain why. The Baal Halachot, by the way, this is the Sefer Baal Halachot, there are different versions of it. But here it says, Hecha delemana oimer leila kama, if you didn't count the omer on the first night, lomani bishar lilasa. Don't bother counting. You didn't count the first night, you can't count afterwards. My taima, what's the reason? Says Baal Halachot. Debi'ina sheva shabbatot tmimot. You need to have seven whole perfect weeks. Velelot, that includes nights too. But he says, Bisha'ar lelosa, other nights, Hecha delomane, if you didn't count at night, so mana me'urta, at least count during the morning. Sounds kind of strange. He doesn't say with a bracha, without a bracha. He says at least count during the morning, v'shaper domain, there's some value. So the Baal Halachot himself says that if you didn't count the first night, it's gone. The other nights at least count at some point, count during the day. So the Sefer HaChinuch now is giving us insight into the Baal Halachot. What is the reasoning of the Baal Halachot? Why is it that you had to have counted every one of these days? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, that the reason for this is Lefi. You listening? Hold on to your seats. This is a very important little word we're going to hear. Shekulon mitzvah achati. It's one big mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that has 49 parts. And because it's a mitzvah that has 49 parts, either you count it all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Because you got to collect the whole thing. You got to collect all days. If you don't collect all days, you don't have the set. You don't have the set, nothing doing. It's one mitzvah. Umikivan. Sheshachach mehen yom echad. Since you forgot one day, harei kol hacheshbon batal mimenu. So forget it, you can't count anymore. It's one mitzvah. You don't have the cheshbon, you don't have the counting anymore. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, v'lo hodu moreinu shebedoreinu. Our rabbis, our teachers in our generation did not agree with the Baal Halachot, even though he was a generation before. They did not agree with him. They didn't agree with this. And they said otherwise. Now, we do not have a reason for the other opinion, which is the opinion of the Tosfos. We don't know why it might work. If it's one mitzvah, then if you didn't count one day, how could you count the next day? So for this, we take a look in the writings of Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, who we've spoken about often. The Rosh is one of the three major codifiers of Torah in halachic prose. We have Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, Rambam, Rabbeinu Moshe B'Maimon Asfardi, and Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, Rif, the Alphas. So the Rosh says, Kosav Bahag. Bahag is Baal Halachot Gedolot. The Baal Halachot wrote, She'im hifsik yom echad v'lo siper, if you interrupted with one day and didn't count, shuv eino sofer, you can no longer count. Why? Doesn't say why. The Bina Tmimus has to be whole. This has to be whole. So he doesn't give us, the Rosh doesn't give us a reasoning for the Baal Halachas. But he says, Ve'inira l'ri, Ri is Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the great elder of Balei HaTosfot. And here, the Rosh gives us a reason for the Tosfot. Says the Rosh, the Chalayla Velayla Mitzvah Befnei Atzma Hi. Every night is a mitzvah unto itself. So if I didn't count the third night, why shouldn't I count on the fourth night? If I didn't count on the 20th night, why shouldn't I count the 21st night? It's a mitzvah to count now. So you'll meet a Jew any day of the Omer, and whatever day of the Omer it is, what should you say to him? Shalom Aleichem! Did you count the Omer yet? The person says, Omer, what's that? Oh, you don't know, what's this business? Remember Passover? Yeah, I remember Passover. Oh, great, you ate matzah? Yeah, I had some matzah. Did you know that from Pesach we count up the Shavuot? What's Shavuot? Blintzes. Ah, yeah, I think I once heard of Blintzes. Yeah. What's Shavuot? You tell him what Shavuot is, and you explain to him that Judaism is not just about going free, but rather about having mission, meaning, and purpose. It's not just about not having slavery. It's not just about not being persecuted. We're not just fighting anti-Semitism. We're not just trying to be free in our own land. No, 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 that's not what this is about. It's about us living meaningfully. Really? And who decides what's meaning? God. Where? In his Torah. Ah, very interesting, says your new friend. And you tell your friend, by the way, during these days, when we go from Pesach to Shavuot, do you know how we commemorate these days? We count every day. And the person will say to you, what are you counting? And you'll answer him, I'm anticipating. I'm excited about getting the Torah all over again. And maybe he'll get inspired and say, really? You're counting up to them. It must be some very special blintzes you're serving, if you're busy counting up to them. And maybe he gets excited. And then you say, count after me. Hayom. And he says, Hayom Esrim Yom. Today is 20 days. Wow, today is 20 days. Mitzvah every day. He said, but I didn't count the first 19 days. All right, count today. Count today. So now we have laid bare two theologies, two approaches to this mitzvah. There's the Halbal Halachas Gedola says, you miss a day, you're gone. Balei HaTosfos say, every day is a new day. What's the theory behind it? Sefer HaChinuch explained to us that the Balei Halachas looked at it as one mitzvah. However, the Sefer HaChinuch, the Rosh told us that the Tosfos looked at it as every day is an individual mitzvah. So if I didn't do yesterday's mitzvah, I shouldn't do today's mitzvah. If I didn't put on tefillin yesterday, I shouldn't put on tefillin tomorrow. What kind of logic is that? Every day is a mitzvah. Now is a mitzvah to count the Omer. Count the Omer. And these are the two major schools of thought. There is, to be sure, a third kind of school of thought, and this is found in the Tur. The Tur, of course, as you remember, Rabbeinu Yaakov Balaturim is the son of the Rush. He writes the forerunner of the modern-day Shulchan Aruch, and he brings down yet another opinion. This is the opinion of Rabbeinu Sadia, Rabbi Sadia Gaon. Rabbi Sadia Gaon's opinion sounds a lot like what we read in the Bal Halachot. He said, if you counted the first night, you're good. If you didn't count the first night, you didn't get on the wagon when it left, don't bother. If the train left without you, you're not catching it. You need to be there at takeoff. So you count the first night or you don't count. Now, very interestingly, the Bayit Chadash, we have a commentary of Bet Yosef on the tour, and then there's the Bayit Chadash, the Bach, Rabbeinu Yoel Sirkish. So he explains the reason of Reb Sadia Gaon. He says Reb Sadia Gaon also holds its one mitzvah, but in a modified fashion. He says it's mitzvah achat. Mitzvah achat means that it has a hatchala, it has an official beginning. When's the official beginning? He says, the official beginning is on the night, the first night. He says, as long as you get onto the wagon, it says at least you got on when he left, at least you're there at the end, you still have kind of the bookends of a mitzvah, which also needs to be understood. I mean, if it's one mitzvah, what are you doing with bookends? You don't have any books. You have to have the days in between. But that's what he says. So here is an important question for us to ask. And this question is going to help us to understand everything that we learned tonight. It's one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah, yeah? If it's one mitzvah, why do we make a bracha every day? It's one mitzvah. What do you mean it's a new day? It's one mitzvah. If a mitzvah takes... Okay, so make one bracha when you do the mitzvah. Suppose I'm going to be moving into a home for 6 months. So I don't want to invest in mezuzahs. I'm just going to live it for 6 months. Well, you need to. He says, do you know what that means? I'm going to buy these fancy mezuzahs. So the $200 a mezuzah, I'm buying this gorgeous mezuzah because I would never think of having anything less. And I'm only having not even 200 days in there. I'm paying $1 a day. Yeah, you are. So do I make 200 brachas, he says, at least? Can I make a bracha every morning when I'm at a look at my... No, no. But he knows he's only putting out mezuzahs for a limited amount of days. Okay. You put out the mezuzah. Likbol mezuzah, mezuzah's up, done. What do you mean you don't make a... Let me give you another example. You're putting up a whole house full of mezuzahs. Do you make a bracha at every doorpost? No. I'll tell you when it's different. If I could afford one mezuzah and I put up a mezuzah in my front door, and then I went spiritually to sleep, and somebody woke me up a month later and said, you have one mezuzah? Maybe at least on your bedroom. Okay, fine. I'll buy another mezuzah. I haven't made a bracha in a month now. And I put up a mezuzah in my bedroom. What do? I have to make another bracha. And if it takes you a month to add a mezuzah, or even a day, you have to make another bracha. Understood. Okay, but really, if you're doing the at succession at once, you don't make another bracha. If I'm going to search for the chametz, what if I have to search my home and my office or my car and make a new bracha each time? I have an obligation. No. What should I be careful not to do? To make interruptions. I make a bracha. I should have a mind to search here. And have a mind to search there, a mind to search there, and search all these places. If it's one big mitzvah, why am I making a new bracha every day? Ah, well, if it's not one big mitzvah, then what if I forgot? So what? Why can't I still count? That's the shita of Tosfos. By the way, do you remember what the Tosfos' response to the Baal Halacha was? He says, "Teima gedoylohu." This is an astonishing thing to say. He says, "Lo yitachin." You know, to ask an Israeli, what means lo yitachen? It ain't happening. Doesn't exist. It's exactly what the Tosfos said. It doesn't exist. It's a new mitzvah every day. I can just say it's one mitzvah. So there's another number of other countings that we do. There's a number of countings. For example, when a woman has to go to the mikveh, so she's supposed to count each and every single day, and there are opinions that say you actually have to verbalize it, and there's a question of why you don't make a bracha, and there's a discussion about this. The Mishmat Zezov, in the Chok Yaakov, they speak about this exact idea. And basically, the Prima Gadim says, because it's only a preparation to a mitzvah. It's not. It's an elective mitzvah. There's a whole discussion about this. And the bottom line is, one of the answers is, you don't know when you're counting 7 days if the 7 days is actually going to work out 7 days. It could be end up more than 7 days. And because of that, you can't count every day because you don't know how many days this is going to go. The point that we can take out both from the Chok Yaakov and the Mishpatzos in their commentary at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch of chapter 489 is that when in doubt, don't make a bracha. If you're not certain, don't make a bracha. Which brings us to the next question. Number one, why do we make a bracha every day? Number two, can anybody here be absolutely certain that they will not miss a day of counting the Omer? You can't. And the proof is in the pudding. A lot of people forget. Especially if you don't daven with a minyan. A lot of people forget. People forget. So why are you making a bracha now? It's not only a problem later on. The Rebbe says it's a problem going back. When should you make a bracha? On the 49th day. If you counted 48 days, make a bracha on the 49th day. Now I'm finally concluding my journey. These are the questions the Rebbe asks. And the Rebbe offers an incredible resolution. Listen to his resolution. He says, the truth is, it has to be that even according to the Baal Halachas Gedolos, it has to be that these mitzvahs are not one big mitzvah, but rather 49 mitzvahs. So what does the Baal Halachas mean when he says it's one mitzvah? He says it's 49 details, mitzvahs, that are all interwoven. One is linked to the next. And this is how it goes, he says. The mitzvah is that on the first night I should count one day for the Omer. What should I count on the second day? I should count 2 days. How can I count 2 days if I counted one day? When I count one day is counted. He says, now I have 1 day counted, so now I can go on to count 2 days. If I have 2 days counted, what can I do on the third day? I can count 3 days. If I didn't have 10 days counted, can I count 11? How could you count 11? It's one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah means that the mitzvah of today is to count all the days up till now. The mitzvah on the 11th day is to count the 11th day, but if I didn't count 10, how can I count 11? If you're missing rungs on the ladder, how are you going to get from one to the next? One step leads to the next. And this then, the Rebbe explains, is the real the jurisprudence. This is the real philosophy of the argument. When we say it's one mitzvah, does it mean that it's literally one mitzvah? Each day is a mitzvah. On the 11th day, the mitzvah is to count the 11th day. On the 12th day, the mitzvah is to count the 12th day, and so on and so forth. Or is the mitzvah on the 11th day to count 11 days? And on the 12th day, the mitzvah is to count 12 days. But the only way you can count 12 days is if you counted one, and then two, and then three. And now I've counted 11. After counting 11, now I'm ready to count 12. In other words, the mitzvah for the 12th day is to count the 12th day in succession of the 11 that preceded it. And that explains to us what the Bach says about the Reb Sadia Gaon's opinion is, that you had to have started the Omer at least. If you didn't start the Omer, didn't start off in the beginning of the first night, how could you just count the Omer? And now I have 49 days of the Omer. 49 days from where? You have to have a starting point. It's 32 days of the Omer. What do you mean it's 30 days of the Omer? Where did you begin? You have to have a starting point. Mitzvah achas, according to Reb Sadia Gaon, means that you have to have a starting point, so with any day you choose to count, at least I know what I'm counting from. I counted day one, I can count day 32. I can count day 42. Why? Because I'm going back to a beginning. But according to the Tosfos, the Rosh says, every mitzvah, chol laila v'laila, mitzvah b'fnei atzmai, separate mitzvah. Today's count is today's count. Today's count is an isolation. Whatever happened yesterday, it has nothing to do with what happens tomorrow. Today's count is today's count. And therefore, if I'm counting tonight, I'm doing the mitzvah perfectly. So what's the halacha? The halacha is we have these two opinions. And because we have these two opinions, what do? We keep counting, but we don't make a bracha anymore. Because we're not sure how the halacha is. We're not sure how the count should go. Is today a standalone, having nothing to do with the days that have led me up to this point? Or if I didn't count the days up till this point, maybe I can't count anymore. So because of the opinion of the Baal Halachas, I don't count with a bracha. But because of the opinion of the Tosfos, I should count. And the best thing to do is listen to somebody who makes a bracha still, ask him to think of you, answer amen to his bracha, which is almost as good as making a bracha, and some would argue even better, and then after answering amen to that bracha, then you count, so you count it with a bracha. Maybe not your bracha, but you count it with a bracha. And here, my dear friends, is the point. There really are two ways to look at life. Life, really and truly, is a collection of moments. Each and every one was supposed to have been used fully. It says in the Zohar that Avram was an old man. Avram Zaken. And then it says he was Baba Yamim. He was coming on in his days. They seem to be two euphemisms for old age. Coming on in his days and old. So it's redundant. Either he's old or coming on in his days. What's the answer, says the Zohar? The answer is that Avraham Avinu not only lived a lot of days, he not only had a stamp on his birth certificate that indicated his age, he came with his days. Avraham didn't lose any days. Baba Yamin means Baba Yamin Shleiman. He utilized each day, each moment, each opportunity to the fullest. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Yomim Yutzaru. God creates days. None of us know when his time comes. We all have a certain amount of days. We can only put on tefillin so many times. Whatever that number is, God knows that number. We can only observe so many Shabbatot in our life. We can only have so many opportunities to do whatever mitzvah it is. And that's the days that God has allotted to us. And if you want to do it right, you have to make sure you don't miss any days. Life is one big mitzvah. Life is one big continuum. You can't take a week off life. Does anybody stop breathing for a week? The only reason I'm breathing now is because I was breathing 5 minutes ago. If I had stopped breathing 5 minutes ago, I wouldn't be breathing now anymore. If my heart decided to go on vacation for a week, I wouldn't be here now. The only way my heart can beat now is because it's been beating ever since. So really, all of time is a continuum. Each frame, like, you know, on the strip of film, each frame is a standalone, but each frame leads to the next. You can't have an interregnum in life. You don't have time where life gets truncated. Well, I died a couple of years ago, but I'm back. Not in the real world. It doesn't happen like that. When Mashiach will happen, there'll be Tchias HaMesim. But you can't interrupt life. And life is opportunities. And therefore, the school of thought that the Baal HaLachos Gedolus is that you can serve Hashem fully. The only way you can serve Hashem fully is you didn't miss any days. The Baalei HaTosfos come along and say, Teima Gedola. It's astonishing that you would say that. Lo Yitachen. Cannot be such a thing. The truth is, every single day a Yid gets up in the morning, he says, Moda ani lefanecha, rabba munatecha, I have a new start at life. I have a new kick at the can. Things went wrong. I made mistakes. All true. All true. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. The truth is that our sages tell us if you miss reciting the Shema one day, it's a mu'uvus liyachal liskin. You can never make up for it. Why? Because you can only recite Shema so many times. So if there's one day you miss the Shema, I can say, well, I'll say Shema tomorrow. I'll say Shema all the rest of my days. Yeah, but you can't make up with yesterday. Yesterday never comes back. Whatever I didn't do yesterday, no matter how many times I do it tomorrow, I can only do today and tomorrow what I can do today and tomorrow. I can't make up for yesterday. It's a mu'uvus liyachal liskin. You miss an opportunity, it's gone. So from one perspective, Sefirat HaOmer's message to us is, make sure every day counts. Life should be perfect. Every moment should be counted. Realistically, very few people can say that. The Avraham Avinus, the super tzaddikim of the ages, can say that they are Baba Yemin Shleiman. And so the rest of us, thank God, have the Baal Dari in the Tosfos who says, Lo Yitachen, can't be such a thing. Every day, as the Rosh says, is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. And the truth is that Hashem gives us opportunities to do tshuva, and he gives us opportunities to somehow re-engineer the past, which is a moifus, a miracle that we can never understand how tshuva works. But the truth is that each and every day is a new opportunity to stand before God and make today count. So make today count means not people say, tomorrow I'll do it. No, not tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, now. A yoyim, to make a day count, it has to be the night and the day. The night represents the dark times in life. The day represents the lit up brilliant times in life. Elie Wiesel's book is called, first book, Night. Night represents exile. Night represents darkness. Night represents doubts. Night represents suffering. Night represents uncomfortability. Night represents having the difficult time in life. A person will say, when the sun rises, when I have parnasa and good health, when everything's settled, that's when I'll start making my life count. And the Torah comes along to you and says, Tmimais. To be a tamim, to be perfect, you have to make the nights count and the days count. And only when we have the nights and the days together, only when we confuse together, even if you're just taking the chunk of time one day at a time, but understand that you have to take it the night and the day, the good and the bad, the light and the dark, It's a package deal. Yetzer Eir Uveir Cheshech. God creates light, God creates darkness. Our job is to know that every situation is an opportunity to make this world the kind of godly place it was always destined to be. And when we do that right, then our count can be perfect and faithful and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained it to be. And when we make lives, live lives that count, and when we make life count, we accelerate the process of universal redemption, when everything will really count, and Meretz Hashem, with the coming of Mashiach B'Mehera, will be Ameinu Amen. You see, the halacha is you keep counting. It's because tshuva. This is the mitzvah. Sfiras HaEmor doesn't talk about tshuva. It's a separate mitzvah.